Hope everybody's doing well. It's a little bit different week. I know last week, after a long day of the harvest party, it was pretty exhausting. And so here we are. We're now over halfway through. And as normal, we've kind of lost some people along the way, which is fine. I hope people are getting this audio. And I've heard from several people that aren't even signed up that they're listening to it. So praise the Lord. I really don't care how they get it. It really doesn't make any difference to me. God called me to, he gave me a burden to do this, and so we're doing it, and as long as somebody shows up other than just Paige, I feel like we're getting somewhere. It's just awkward when I'm just like, you need to hear this, Paige, and so anyway. So we are running a little bit behind, not just as far as time tonight, which I think we're good on time tonight, but we didn't get through everything we wanted to get through last week, and for those of you who were here, we started talking about intimacy and basically all of that in marriage. And I didn't want to just rush through that. I didn't want to push through it because there's a lot that needs to be said. And so instead of just picking right up where we were last week, because we were kind of getting into some meatier stuff, that might just be awkward for somebody who might just be coming in tonight. So we're going to do a little bit of review. And I'm just going to take tonight and wrap up that section. And so we'll figure out how to make it up on the back end. One thing I do want to remind you of is there is a box in the foyer for questions. If anybody has just got something that's like, I really want to know what the Bible says about this as regards to my marriage or this, that, and the other. So just discreetly throw that in there. And I will, when I get some time, sit down and look at those and make sure we have some time to go through those things. And so with that, let's pray. My mind's pretty scattered tonight, so hopefully God can just settle all that down and we can get back into some good stuff here. So let's pray and just ask God to bless this. So Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for just sitting on the throne. God, there's so many things when it comes to marriage that we should talk about, we need to talk about, we need to look at and examine. But God, I pray that you would just set those things aside, not the things that we need to talk about, but just all the random thoughts that seem to come and pop into my head, and that you would just allow us to focus on one thing tonight. And so we can just do one thing well. And if we can just do one thing well, then we can build on that and do one other thing well and one other thing well. So Lord, I do just pray that you would just bless tonight, bless your word. Lord, when it comes to intimacy and marriage, Lord, we know that you are intimate with us. Lord, you desire for us to know your very mind. And so I pray that as we look at these things, they wouldn't be awkward. God, we're all adults here, but you would allow me to speak freely, not to embarrass anybody, but really to help grow our marriages. When we have strong marriages, we have strong churches. When we have strong churches, we can get the will of God where it needs to go on time. And so I pray that you would just bless tonight and just speak through me, remove me out of the way, and allow your word to just be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. Excuse me. Okay, so I gave you a task last week. I give you a task at the end of every week. Did anybody do the task that I wanted you to do, that you actually sat down and went through Song of Solomon? Did you read Song of Solomon? Did anybody read the entire book? Right, I love the book of Song of Solomon. So it's been not that. So here I am. This is actually the first week that I didn't get through the task. So I'm like, I failed miserably this week. But there's grace in that. We've got another week to basically go through the things we're going to talk about. But if you didn't do this, guys, I was actually really looking forward to it. I just didn't get it done, and so. I think I said this last week. In life, we make time for the things that are important to us, and so I guess I just didn't make time for the things that are important to me. So anyway, I have my own self to blame for all that. But anyway, so we started talking about intimacy last week, and so I say all that to say, if you didn't do it, please do it. There's so much that can come from that. And so if you weren't here, the task was basically, you know, we were joking about the way in Song of Solomon it, you know, talks about, you know, her teeth are like straight as goat's teeth, and her hair is like, you know, goat's hair, and all the things that were just like, what in the world is that? And so I just challenged you. I'm like, okay, so if we all think this is so funny, go through and rewrite it in your own terms. Rewrite it to your own spouse in words that aren't so awkward. And then when you like, oh, you want me to do what? And so then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, now it's personal. And so I do encourage you to do that. We'll circle back around at the end to talk about that. So anyway, we're already getting into this, and I'm trying to figure out how to start this thing. So we're talking about intimacy. And so the thought process behind this whole thing, and I'm going to review very quickly. Usually when I review, I kind of go through everything, but I want to get to where we're going. I want to get done tonight. And so I had eight. Where's it at? Wow, I had a lot of introduction here. Eight. Where's it at? Man, what was the list? There's a title somewhere. I just can't find it in my notes. Here it is. Eight how-tos that will lead your marriage to better intimacy. There it is. So, we could call this the good sex how-to manual, because the reason we get there, so some of you are like, what? The reason we got there was this. With sex, you are, you're completely given to another person. It's complete intimacy. There is no, I used this reference last week and Nick remembered it. There is no ace in the hole, right? There is no, holding back any cards. You're completely out there. This is it. This is all I've got. And so do you take me as I am and all of those things? And so, with intimacy in our marriage, it's all about the mind, right? It starts with the mind. If your mind is not in it, your body's not in it. And if your mind isn't headed there, your body's not going to get there. And so trying to figure out mentally how we can get to where we need to go, because you're completely vulnerable. And when it goes well, we feel empowered, we feel confident, we feel secure. But when it goes bad, we feel weak and insecure and unwanted. And so we basically boiled it all down to this. And I did, and nobody disagreed. So there's this statement that just seems very true, right? Quote unquote, good intimacy, good sex leads to much more of that, and bad intimacy or bad sex leads to, well, really none at all. And so then we find ourselves going down one road or the other. And so the question of the night, and this is still going to be the question of tonight as we get into these eight how-tos, is how do we have good instead of bad? So if we know that good leads to more, leads to confidence, leads to intimacy, not just physically, but all the other ways that you can be in your marriage, how do we have that more and less of the not so good? Because I think in a room this size, as long as the ones who are married, we could say that we've been on both sides of the coin here. So how do we have more of this and less of that? And that's kind of what we're going through here. I kind of gave you this point last week, and it's something that I heard, and I want to make sure you remember this, because we should all remember this. If sex is free and it's fun, then why don't we have more free fun in our marriage, right? That's the question that we should ask ourselves. And so here's the eight how-tos that will lead to your marriage better intimacy. And so I'm going to move through these quickly. We got through 4 points last week, and then we're going to pick up and roll from there. And so the first point that we saw, and I'm not, again, I know a lot of people catching this online, so I don't want to reteach it. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. But we need to see God's mind on God's design, right? And the question was basically, is there truly a godly sex? Is there truly a godly intimacy? Well, absolutely there is. The Bible's full of that. The Bible's full of the picture of what he wants. And so God designed it. So get it out of your mind that it's wrong, that it's bad, that it's something it shouldn't be happening. There's this stigma, there's this whatever you want to call it in the church that we should never talk about intimacy. One of the things when I felt burdened to talk about marriage with so many people was we're not going to tiptoe around anything. It seems like too often we say we want to talk about marriage, we want to talk about all the things that come with marriage, but then when it gets to the things that are kind of awkward, we're just like, yeah, you should do that, and then we just kind of walk around it. No, we're going to actually look at why. Because it was God's design and how that all works and everything else. And so don't forget that, we have to have God's mind on it, because it's not just God's design, which is a pretty good design if you ask me, but we have to have God's mind on it, right? How did he think that this should go? And so the few things that we looked at was, the first thing of God's mind when it comes to this is it's only for the married. It's not for those who are going to get married, who want to get married, who have been married. It's for people who are married. That's what it's all about. And so we said a lot more about that last week, but we'll go back and listen to it. Again, the second thing on God's mind when it comes to this is it's holy. Sex is holy. It is designed to be a picture of something, right? To be holy is to be dedicated or consecrated. When you consecrate yourself to exclusively one person, there's something holy about that. When you say, I am yours forever, right? Not just for tonight, but I'm yours forever. Take me as I am, and then how I'm going to be as we get older, right? Because, well, things change. We're going to talk about that later tonight. And then the last thing we saw on God's mind when it comes to his design is it's spiritual. God should play a part in the marriage bed, right? There should be some asking of God to bless what's going on. There should be some prayer. There should be all of those things. And so that was the first thing. How do we get God's mind on God's design? The second how-to that we looked at last week, and I'm moving very quickly. There was a lot we said, but I'm going to move quickly because I want to pick back up where we were at. It was just going to be awkward to pick up there. So the second how-to is how to understand a different language. And so we kind of boiled that down to basically men and women, they're different. We are not the same, really in any way at all, if you want to talk about it. And so we kind of just looked at how God has created us differently, to do different things, to minister different ways, to do all those different things. And we kind of looked at the little questionnaire that we filled out, and I'll still get you guys some results on that when we get there. But we looked at some generalities when it comes to ladies and when it comes to men. Obviously, these aren't always like, this is set in stone, but there's some generalities. And somebody refresh your mind because you guys thought this was kind of funny. It's true, but it's funny, right? And so when it came to ladies, they are very emotional. The emotional leads them to the physical. Women typically aren't just like, hey, let's get to the bedroom. They're just not like that. It's all about what leads them to there. It's a very emotional process. We talked about how for them, intimacy starts in the morning. And it doesn't mean like in the morning. It just means like your pursuit starts in the morning. That's how that all works. And again, I had so much more to say, but it's emotional. The emotional leads them to the physical. Again, generally, women are mentally aware. They can't just shut it off. They can't just not notice that somebody's knocking on the door. They can't just not notice that the kids are crying. They can't just not notice that whatever is happening, right? They're different, and that's okay because that's how God designed them. Again, generally, women are very sensual. It takes all of their senses working together to get them aroused, to get them headed in the right direction, right? They're not just created in a one-track mind like a man typically is. Again, these are very just generalizations. I understand that sometimes there's always something different. But and then the last one we used, and you all thought this was kind of funny, women are like an oven, right? It takes them a little while to get hot and ready. It just does. It takes them a little while to get where we're desiring to go. I can't just come home and be like, man, I'm ready to cook a pizza. It doesn't work like that. You have to warm this thing up a little bit. And so generally that was the ladies. Generally men are, and so the reason we talked about this was because you need to understand how God created your spouse, right? That was the whole point in here. So you know some of these things, but men are very physical. The physical leads them to the emotional. When men are physical, they typically tend to be very much more emotional. It unlocks that in them. You would think it would be opposite, but it's not. That's just how we are created for the most part. Typically, generally, men are mentally blinded. They don't care what's going on in the world, right? We are together. I don't care what's happening. I don't care if, there's an earthquake outside. As long as it's not inside, then why are we worried about it, right? We are focused on, we are one-track minded. We're mentally blinded. Again, we talked about how, ladies, sometimes that's a good thing. It doesn't matter what else is going on in the world. They are only interested in you. Just make sure that, guys, you're interested in her and not the act. But anyway, men are very visual. We talked about this. Just seeing the dress hits the floor and you're ready. It doesn't mean like everything else has to be just right like it does for a lady typically. And so, again, we talked about this. I'm just getting there. And then, to wrap it all up, we are not like an oven. We're more like a microwave, right? We can be hot and ready whenever. Just push the button and here we go, right? That's just how it works. That's how we were, for the most part, created. For the most part. We'll talk about something later where things change. So anyway, the whole point in this whole how-to when we talked about it was God created them this way. So try to find ways to appreciate the way God created them. Instead of saying, why are you like this? You shouldn't be like that. Instead, appreciate them for who they are. I'm really glad that that God created my wife the way that he did, because she's able to do things, to see things, to hear things, to understand things that I'm not at times. And so just understand, you need to appreciate them for how that God created them. Okay, number three, the third how-to. So this one was a little more deep. You had to really kind of think this one through, and I hope that you guys kind of meditated on this one a little bit, because there's something here that I hope you guys really got. And so the how-to was how to grow mentally into a great lover, right? How to grow mentally into a great lover. And so the whole point here was, I boil it down to, your bed is only big enough for two. Obviously, I'm not talking about physically. I am talking about physically, but that's not the point here. And so the point here was, just let me try to boil it down the best way that I can instead of like reteaching it, is we all come into marriage or really anything in our life with these things that are just kind of programmed into our mind. This is okay. That's not okay. We should do this. We shouldn't do that, right? This is how, this is okay. That's not. And so different things. That could be as simple as, you know, we park our cars inside, we don't park our cars inside. And all the different things throughout life, when you get married, you're bringing different thought processes into marriage. Well, it doesn't change when it comes to intimacy. You come into marriage, and your wife might think that it's only okay, and I used this as an analogy last week because you guys can use your imagination on everything that this could mean in all the different ways. I'll just make it very PG when it comes to this part. Your wife might say, you know, intimacy should only happen when the lights are off, right? And, you know, that's just the way that she was raised. It's the way that she's always, her brain's been programmed. And you have to find ways to just understand that. And if you want to grow through that. And that's okay, all of those different things. And so there's a lot of different things. But we come into marriage with this thought process of this is okay, this shouldn't be okay. And sometimes they're okay. Like, sometimes they're even biblical. But a lot of times they're just preferences, I guess you could say. And why are we bringing somebody else's preferences into our marriage bed, I guess is the question that we should ask. And so boil all that down. You know, we're just kind of catching back up. You really should go back and listen to last week if you want to catch what I'm talking about, because there's a lot here that I want to talk about. So, but I didn't want to just say, hey, you need to find what you have in your mind and get rid of it, because that's like saying you need to be more godly. Well, how do I do that, right? The point is, like, how do I do that? And so I gave you four steps to kind of help you with, you have these things that are kind of programmed in your mind. How do I get past them, right? If it's something that's not actually ungodly and it's something that's not, like, unbiblical, then why shouldn't I be able to? So I gave you four steps. And the first one was identify the expectation. So figure out what it is, right? And ask God to reveal anything to you that it might be, right? The second part of this was, you know, do the say it out loud test. Sometimes when you say out loud, hey, sex isn't bad, it's godly, you start to think, oh, sex really isn't bad, it's godly, right? As long as we do it in the confines of marriage and in the biblical picture of marriage. So it's not wrong, right? It's not. So all these different things. If you do the say it out loud test and you say it out loud that this isn't unbiblical, this isn't ungodly, God actually encourages us to enjoy one another. He says over and over again in Scripture in different ways to basically rejoice in the wife of your youth. What do you think that means, right? And it can mean a lot of things, but it definitely means physically as well. Now, it doesn't only mean physically, guys. It also means you need to remember, like, God created her certain ways. Remember the things that made you fall in love with her, all of those things. But it definitely does mean physically as well. So identify it, say it out loud. And then the third thing is where we forget to do sometimes, cast it down. If it's not if it's not unbiblical, then cast it down. The Bible says, where's the verse? 2 Corinthians 10:5, that we need to cast down false imaginations, right, in every thought thereof. You know, if it's not wrong, it's okay to just be like, okay, this isn't wrong. We can grow through this. You know, and here's the thing. Remember, we talked about this last week. I'm going to make sure I say this in case you're only getting this. Don't push them into anything. Only go as far as you are both comfortable in going. It doesn't matter. No matter what we talk about tonight, when we talk about intimacy, you should never push your spouse to do anything that they are uncomfortable with, ever. That is like a fast-track way into the pastor's office for marriage counseling. I'm just saying. I hate to be that way, but like, I'm just like, do we need to have Luke go ahead and make you an appointment? Because that's just how it works. And so don't do that. And so the last thing, so identify it, say it out loud. This isn't wrong. Cast it down. And the fourth thing, make sure you get here, enjoy your liberty. God gave you liberty. Enjoy it. And so use your imaginations. We're not just talking about Should the lights be on or off? You know, there's a lot of things you can talk about when it comes to this. So I want to make sure I say this again because maybe you didn't hear it. Previous partners, previous marriages, premarital sex, all those different things, those are a fast-track way to have these kinds of problems, big mental hang-ups. And so it doesn't mean that you're just broken. It just means that you're going to have to work through those things, sometimes together, sometimes with actually some real counseling. And so anyway, I just want to say that because it's okay. I've said this before about other things. It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay there. You have to figure out how you can grow to be more godly every day. Okay, so just understand that. Okay, the fourth one. This is the last one we got through, I think, isn't it? Isn't the last one we got through? Okay, this is where we really started to get into the making y'all blush. Okay, so how to get your spouse to want you, right? How to get your spouse to be interested. I called this the art of seduction. Again, seduction is not a unbiblical word. It's okay in the confines of marriage. Proverbs says, don't be seduced by the strange woman. Your wife shouldn't be the strange woman. Your husband shouldn't be the strange, you know, there should be a lot going on. So it's not a bad thing. So how we do this is very different. Guys, we talked about we have to work a lot harder at this, and that's okay, right? You should be willing to work. You should be willing to strive. You should be willing to chase your wife to the end of the world, not just for intimacy, but to be with her, right? So if your wife ever, I don't know if I said this last week or not, I probably did, but if your wife ever thinks that you're only chasing after that, you're going to be chasing for a long time. But when she realizes that you're chasing after her and not that, you would be amazed at how much of that is going on. So you see. I gave you some examples of what this looked like. You know, leave them a note, send them a song lyric, whatever. Be engaged in raising the kids. Be a part of everyday life, right? What can I do to help you? Tell her how beautiful she is, not just when she's taking her clothes off, but tell her how beautiful she is. And I'm talking to the guys right now. So, when help her with just her daily things. Do something that she likes to do for once, right? Write her a letter. Well, we got there last week. Some of us did. And so I'm not going to go there because we spent a lot of time in Song of Solomon. We probably will get back there later on. But there are verse after verse after verse in Song of Solomon where it basically boils down the art of you are exactly what I want, right? Your teeth are just like goat's teeth. They're straighter than a string, man, and they're great. And like your hair, it's perfect. And like all of those things. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go back and read it all, but you know, Song of Solomon 1, 9 to 16, Song of Solomon 7, 1 to 9, 4, 1 to 15, over and over again. It just talks about how he is just telling her how amazing she is over and over again. Guys, does your wife know how amazing she is? Because if you're not telling her, and you might be like, well, I told her the other day. It doesn't matter. She says, you know, today. Have you told her today that you love her? Have you told her today how great she is, how much you appreciate her? I'm just saying, like, this is a daily thing. You signed up for this. You're like, I didn't sign up for this. No, it's because you didn't go through premarital counseling. I would have told you, this is what you're signing up for. I'm just saying, like, this is what it is. So, guys, it's an all-day thing. You got to chase her all the time. When you genuinely pursue her and make her feel wanted, both inside and out, Song of Solomon 4:16, it tells you what happens. He tells her through the entire chapter how great she is, how perfect she is, how much he is after her. And then what does it say? The very end of the chapter, the last verse, it switches. And she talks to him for one verse. And what does she say? Come into your garden and have all you want. What do you think that's talking about, guys? I mean, I'm not going to like blush. I'm just saying, like, what do you think this book is about? He spends the entire chapter telling her how great she is, how perfect she is. And I'm not just saying in flattery, but he means what he's saying. And what does she say? Nah, don't say that. Well, gals, can I just say, maybe this is just a me thing, but I'm going to guess your husband would probably agree. The last thing I want to hear when I tell you that, like, I think you're beautiful, is like, yeah, you see my hair, right? Or, man, have you, like, yeah, I do, actually. It's great. You know, sometimes we just need, and guys, we need to do the same thing. We need to learn how to just take a compliment. I mean it with all my heart. And so, you know, just understand that the last thing you want to hear when you're actually, you know, chasing after somebody is like, yeah, I'm not that great. Yeah, actually you are, but, you know, just take it. Like, I really do think that. And I'm not just, I'm just mean in general. In your marriages, Just learn how to accept when somebody is into you. You might not understand why. I don't have to understand why. You know, there's times that I look in the mirror and I'm like, man, you are so lucky. In a year or two, like, the hairline's going to be clear up to here. You are just one lucky woman, right? But it doesn't matter. If she is into it, then why does it matter? So we're going to talk about this later. You get to learn how to love somebody that changes over time. And that's perfect, and that's biblical. You have to learn what gets her going, guys. That's what we were talking about, the art of seduction. Ladies, we talked about with you the same thing, only completely different. You don't really have to try that hard, at least for the most part, especially in the younger, middle-aged years. You just don't really have to try that hard, generally. Guys, remember we looked at all the different lists? Like, we're very visual. It's not that hard to make my jaw drop. And I'm not talking about everybody else. I'm talking about my wife. We're visually attracted. And so, like, you have areas of your body that you can, anyway, you get what I'm saying here. We're visual. Go back and listen to it. We talked about it last week. So he's extremely visual. But I gave you a warning, ladies, just because sometimes this happens. Because ladies are like, all he ever does is chase, and you kind of get tired with it. And I get it. Some guys, that's all they're after. And it shouldn't be that way. But I gave you kind of a warning. If you never initiate or pursue him internally, he's going to begin to question if he's really wanted. Right? And then Song of Solomon 3:1-5. And 5:9-16, it shows how she is just as willing to chase after him at times, right? And so it's a two-way street. Just understand that. I'm just saying, ladies, for the most part, you're probably not going to have to, because he's usually going to be chasing you. But be willing and surprise him sometimes, because, man, you just never know. Again, we said a lot, right, last week. So here's what I ended that whole section with, and this is kind of how we ended the night. When each of you learn the art of seduction in your marriage and actually use it, don't be surprised when looking back, the honeymoon seems mild compared to today, right? And I said that, and you were like, oh, okay. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand, because that would be weird, and that's not what we're doing here. Did anybody this week think, wow, the honeymoon was nothing compared to this? Because if not, you're really not hearing what we're talking about. Intimacy is something that should be actively happening. Now, I understand there are seasons of life and all of those things. I get it. But for the most part, like, if nobody heard what we were talking about last week and we were like, oh, yeah, and nothing actually happened, nothing actually changed, your mind never thought, hey, there's something to this. Hey, they desire me and I should desire them. Hey, you know, both, it's a two-way street. Like, this should provoke you to want to do something. And I'm not just talking about getting in bed together. Like, ladies, I hope that your husband chased you around all week just because he wanted to chase you. Because that's what this should provoke him to want to do. Because if nothing changed, if nothing, like, if a thought wasn't at least just kind of sparked in your life to, hey, maybe I should grow, then what are we doing? And kind of that's how I ended the week last week. Because, if we're just here to have our ears kind of tickled, then what's the point? You know, I'll get up here and say all the awkward things. I really don't care. It doesn't really make me feel that awkward. I'm completely secure in my marriage. We're at a place now where, like, there's nothing that, I mean, is going to make me ever look elsewhere. Like, God has given me the desire of my heart, and he doesn't make mistakes, and it's completely perfect. So, like, why would I? Why would that even? So I'm at that point, but it doesn't mean I should stop chasing. But if all you're doing is you're here, and I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir, because, you know, obviously we're like at half maybe of what we were when we started. It is what it is. But if all you're here is just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's a good but you're not really willing to grow, to change, to be more godly in your marriage, and sometimes being intimate is being godly in your marriage, then what are we doing here, right? So anyway, that's where we ended last week. You guys are right on time. All you missed was a review, so it's no big deal. It's all good. Number five on the how to basically have good intimacy in your life is this. So we talked about how to make them want me, because you have to learn how to make your spouse desire you. I mean, it just happens. You know, guys, we talked about it. We can't just come walking out of, you know, the bathroom with a piece of lingerie on and think she's just going to be like, yes, I'm into that. It's just weird, right? And so it doesn't work like that. It's completely different. So how do we make them want me? Okay, well, we talked about that. Hopefully you guys are starting to track with that. Hopefully you already had that going on in your life. So here's where we, and this is why we didn't just start here tonight, because you'd be like, wow, to get to the point, Jason. How to keep your spouse wanting more. Okay, So, and obviously, I'm not going to be graphic here. That's not what this is about. But we talked about this from the get-go. Good intimacy leads to good nearly everything in your marriage. Now, if intimacy is the only thing that's good, then that's not it. But generally, if there is good intimacy in your marriage, you feel more free together, you feel more open together, you're more comfortable together, you're willing to do, like, all of those things, okay? So this is why we're talking about this. So if anybody is like, why are we spending so much time? Why are we spending so much time on sex? You want to know why? Because we spend so much time on sex in the counseling room in the pastor's office. That's why. We're going to take some time and talk about it now. And you might be like, well, we don't have those issues. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not here to tell on anybody, and it's not anybody in here, but other people do. That's why we're looking at these things, okay? And so I'm just saying that. So how do you keep your spouse to continue to want that? So here's where we're at. Learning how to truly please your spouse. And now I'm not going to get into details, okay? That's not what we're talking about. You need to learn your spouse. The Bible's very clear about that. And I'll be careful here not to be graphic, but there's something everyone here needs to know. And this will probably be the most awkward thing that I say, but just so everybody is on the same page here. Everybody needs to know this. And I think we all know this, but whatever reason, we don't put this into practice. Intimacy, sex is best when both people quote-unquote win. I hope you're tracking with me. It is best when both people win. Remember, from the very beginning, if you were listening last week or if you heard last week, good intimacy or sex leads to more intimacy or sex. So do everything you can to make it good for them, for everyone involved, right? And so if you have your Bible, flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We spent a lot of time flipping through the Bible last week, and so not that we're going to spend less than it this week, but I want to get through these things. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 7, for those of you who might be like, why are we talking about this? Well, because the Bible talks about this, that's why. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we looked at this a little bit when we were going through the roles, but this is something that we both need to understand. We all need to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. Verse 3 says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise the wife unto the husband. That verse isn't talking about intimacy per se. It's talking about understanding your spouse and giving them what they need the most. And we talked about this several weeks ago where women need to, that they desire most to be loved and to be led and to be all those things, right? And guys, they desire to be reverenced and all of those things. We looked at all that, right? That's what it means to give them due benevolence. That means kindness now. The best way to give them kindness now is the thing that they desire most in their life. Believe it or not, it's not sex always for guys. We desire reverence more than anything else, right? You can give me physical pleasure every day, but if you don't respect me and reverence me, who cares? And I think I speak for all men when I say that, okay? So, but then it switches gears in verse 4. It says, the husband hath not power over own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except to be with consent for a time. Does somebody want to try to explain this to me in a non-physical way? Because this verse is very physical. This verse is very intimate. We'll call it that. When you are, now there are other ways. If you're ministering to your spouse and you're only caring about their needs and they're ministering to you and only caring about, there's other applications here. But for the most part, this one verse, these two verses, they're talking about physical intimacy. And so, when you are in the marriage bed together, guys, the only thing that you should be concerned about the entire time is how to make it the best time ever for her. That's it. Ladies, when you're in the marriage bed with your husband, the only thing that you should be concerned about the entire time is how to make it as great as possible for him. And you might be like, well, if we're just always tripping over ourselves trying to give the other person, this is going to take a long time. Well, praise the Lord, right? When we're only concerned about the other person and their needs and their desires, and you might be like, well, I've been on the wrong side of this, and I was giving everything I could, but they weren't. And like, can you control what your spouse does? Nope. Not even a little bit, actually. And when you try to manipulate them, it actually is worse. All you can do in any phase of life is do what God told you to do. Right here, Paul says, and this isn't just Paul talking because he's very very, very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about the things that this is from God. Now, this is from me. Like, this isn't even like, these are the things that I think. It's not, no, this is what God says. God says, you should only be concerned about their needs and desires. And you should only be concerned about their needs and desires. You get the picture here? Intimacy is best when everybody wins, right? It's the only kind of intimacy. Now, I understand there will be times when it's not always like that. There will be times when the purpose is just to please this person. That's okay. Catch them on the next time. Right? And it shouldn't be like that. But I mean, there are times, and we're adults here. There are times when we're maybe in a hurry, when we are, whatever's going on, okay? For the most part, the goal here is to simply please the other person. If all you're doing is tripping over yourself to please them, to do that, I mean, I don't think there's anybody in here that wouldn't be like, I've experienced that at least once. I'm just saying, like, you want to know how to make them continually want to come back? Make it amazing for them every time. And I don't just mean physically. Yeah, it's great when we have good physical intimacy. I mean, is anybody in here who's like, nah, I'm not really into that. But it's even better when there's something more to it. When you understand that this is something bigger, it's a picture. We are one flesh now. From the very beginning of the book of Genesis, all the way to, you know, Ephesians, it talks about how we are this picture. And then there's stories throughout, all these different things. There's a purpose behind it. And when you start to see that it's not just physical, but man, I feel like I can see directly into your soul. There's nothing that you are keeping from me, and I have nothing that I'm keeping from you. And like, if you've ever been to that point spiritually together, man, I'm saying there is something about intimacy that is not just physical. I hope you're tracking with me, okay? Because we're not here just talking about physical sex, okay? Just understand that. If you never thought of yourself during sex because you knew your spouse had that taken care of, imagine what the results of that would be. Now, I didn't say, what are they thinking about that? I said, if you never thought of yourself during intimacy because you knew your spouse had that part taken care of, I never even had to think, well, I mean, at some point, no. If I never had that thought ever and I was only ever concerned about, hey, you, what would that be like? You need to learn what it makes, or you need to learn what it is that makes your spouse's, you know, eyes roll in a good way. Let me just say that, okay? There is something about physical intimacy that's fun and that's holy and that's just us, right? I know things about my wife that nobody else would ever know. Why? Because I've been with her for so long. She knows things about me that would make me turn completely beet red, and I'm not embarrassed by about anything, that only she would know. Because that's what intimacy is. It's not just physical. You know, what does it say? This isn't really love, but it's a funny line. We finish each other's sandwiches, right? What movie is that? the point is, like, we are so into each other that it's just like, that's what it's about, right? So, have conversations where you can ask them things like this. What is it? And it doesn't mean, so these conversations don't always mean we're headed to the bedroom. But have conversations like, what is it that like pleases you the most? And let me just tell you guys, for the most part, your wife's going to say, it just depends, right? That's like the most complicated answer, right? I'm like, I just want to know. Like, I'm not going to tell everybody. I just want to know. It just depends. It depends on what? Anyway. Have conversations. Be open. Like, intimacy shouldn't be like this, like, closet in your marriage. Definitely should not be that. Now, I'm not saying you need to be, like, super open. Like, there's definitely boundaries here. But if your kids, just think about this for a second. If your kids never see you embrace your spouse, if your kids never see you desire your spouse, intimate with your spouse in ways, you know, there's times that my daughter walks through and she just rolls her eyes. She's like, oh my gosh, you know, you guys, you know, you have a room. I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, we have a house too. You know, and it's just me like walking behind her when we're at the sink and, you know, just put my arms around her or whatever else. If your kids never see that, then they, and we go back to the mental part of this thing, they start to have these thoughts of, you know, any kind of physical touch is wrong, it's bad, is that biblical? No. And so I'm not saying you got to be super crazy or whatever else. And obviously there's a time and place for everything. But like, intimacy is not like this hidden closet in your marriage, okay? We don't invite other people in, but man, it's not hidden either. I'm not ashamed to say that my wife and I are very intimate. Like, that's just part of life. That's part of our marriage. It should be like that for everyone, right? And so very intimate means a lot of things to a lot of different people. So, like, I don't know what you're thinking that means, but I'm just saying, like, there's definitely, I'm definitely into my spouse. Let me just say that. Like, you should be like that with your spouse, okay? Have conversations. Let me ask you just a quick question, kind of maybe get your mind thinking the same thing. So what's your favorite restaurant, right? Somebody, usually everybody's got a favorite restaurant. Like, I really like this place, right? What? Versus, I don't know. Why? Of course, it's because it's her. Not just her, but just. But generally, we have, like, even if it's just a few restaurants, like, I really like this place. Well, what is it about that place that makes you like it? You know, maybe it's, you know, the food is really good. Maybe it's the server. We've got this place that we go to. It's on the plaza. We go there maybe a couple times a year. It's my favorite place to go. It's really expensive, but it's really high class. And I feel like I should be able to take my wife there, you know, a couple times a year. And I really like to go. White tablecloths, the whole deal. But one of the things, I love the food there. But one of the things I love the most about this place is we found this guy that is just an amazing waiter. He makes the experience great, right? Every time I go, I know that if I can request this guy, and they will nearly always accommodate. There was the last time we went, he actually came to our table, and he's like, "I'm really sorry, I'm in a private room." Like, they requested me, and it was like some retirement party for some guy, and he's like, "I feel really bad that I couldn't be." So the fact that he even came to say that was just that he was tripping over himself to you know, wait on us. And the point here is, what makes you go back to whatever place it is? There's something about it. There's something, the experience is good, it's the food is good, whatever it is, right? It should be like that in the bedroom. There should be something about in the bedroom or whatever that makes you desire, I just want to come back. I mean, this is good every time. And I don't just mean physically, but I mean, it's just, I just feel close to you every time. I'm just saying, like, give all of yourself and hold nothing back. Song of Solomon 6:3 says, let me flip over there. Song of Solomon 6:3 says, "I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine." I mean, just think about that. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Let them know that everything you have is theirs. Let them know that everything that you've got is theirs. Song of Solomon 5:1 says, I'm just going to read a few verses here. You can track with me. "I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, my beloved." What do you think it's talking about? This is very intimate, right? What is Song of Solomon 2, verses 4 to 7 says, "He brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick with love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me." Well, that's not really talking about physical, Jason. I mean, what? "His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hands of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he please." What are you? The Bible is very physical, right? It is a picture, right? People who are like, "Oh, it doesn't really talk about that." You didn't read this book then, right? And you might be like, "Well, that's the only book that's like that." Well, I mean, there's other books that references, but like, not every book talks about everything, but it's in the book. So I'm just saying, okay? It goes on to say in Song of Solomon 6:9, "My dove, my undefiled is but one, she the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens of the concubines, and they praised her." 8:12 says, "My vineyard, which is mine, is before me." I don't think he's talking about grapes here. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, the very last verse of this entire book says, "Make haste, my beloved, and be like to a roe or a young hart upon the mountain of spices." So, are you seeing the picture? The Bible has plenty to say about intimacy. It has plenty to say about sex. The question is, are you listening? This takes work, right? Learning how to really please your spouse. So I guess the question is, are you willing to put in the work that goes with it? I mean, I think a lot of us would be like, yeah, I think I could do that kind of work. Well, it shouldn't be just for that, is what I'm saying. Are you willing to learn your spouse? Are you willing to learn how God desired, or not designed them to be desired, different things, right? By the time that you guys come to the, you know, you say your marriage vows, and what's one of the things you say? Till death do us part. By the time you get to that point in life, by this, my phone's ringing. I'm like, who in the world's calling me? Everybody I know is right here. Spam likely. What do you know about that? It's just odd. I'm like, maybe it's something like, it's just weird. I usually wouldn't do that, but I feel like I can be pretty comfortable here. I'm like, something wrong with my parents or whatever. Anyway, so by the time you get to that till death do us part, you're probably going to know your spouse better than they know them, right? You're probably going to know things about them the way that they desire certain things better than they do. That's just part of what happens. That's part of the glory of being married, right? You know, when Tony Godfrey's, I love Tony Godfrey to death, but, you know, when he references passages like this, and he's like, you know, what do you think they's talking about here, right? And here's what he'd say. They's being married, right? They're being married. That's what married people do. Okay, so it's biblical, it's godly, and it's necessary. The next how-to, this is where we're really kind of switching gears here. We talked about the really stuff that makes us blush, but now these are some necessary things we can talk about. How to identify what I call parasites in your intimate life, your sex life. How to identify the parasites in your sex life. What is a parasite? It's something that basically feeds off of something else. There's nothing good in it. It just sucks the life out of it, right? And so that's why I use this word parasite, because that's what these kinds of things will do in your marriage or in your intimate life. These things will latch on, and they will do nothing but, it seems like, suck the life and the joy out of this. So we're going to look at a few of these things. So obviously, the things, another way to say that is learning the hindrances to intimacy in your marriage. Learning the hindrances to intimacy in your marriage. Some of these are going to be like, oh yeah, I know that. And some of these are going to be like, oh yeah, maybe that in my life. Right? So I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but some of these things are things that need to be said. So obviously we're not going to look at things that are not actually parasites, but they can all play a role in taking the good out of something that is designed to be holy and good. We've talked about how intimacy is designed. It's God's design to be good, to be holy, to be all these things, okay? Let's look at a few things that can take away from that, okay? And I'm going to look at three different types of hindrances to your intimacy, three different types of hindrances. And hopefully you hear this, because there's a lot of truth in this, okay? So the first one is pretty basic. I would call these problem hindrances. We would actually label these, that's a problem. Now, some of these others we wouldn't look at and say that's a problem, because, you know, that's kind of like a harsh word. But these types of things, these are problem hindrances. So a problem hindrance in your intimacy would be like another person, right, stealing. I'm not even talking about like adultery, but I'm talking about, you know, usually a lot of times an emotional affair will happen before a physical one does. If somebody is playing that role in your life other than your spouse, and I'm not just talking about in the bedroom, that's a problem, okay? Does that make sense? That's something that's like, no, that's red flag. We don't do that, okay? Certain things you just could be like, okay, hold the phone, time out. We don't go that far. I don't think that in this room we're going to have a whole lot of that going on, but this is the kind of things I'm talking about, okay? So another person, whether it's somebody that's playing the role of your spouse in any way whatsoever, okay? Another one. Now, again, hopefully in this room there's none of this going on, but I'm just going to guess that at some point this will make it to somebody's ears that it's going to be like, oh, this would be like pornography. That's a red flag. That's a problem. That's a problem hindrance in your marriage. Anybody who thinks that, oh, that's not a big deal, that's not part of, I'm just saying, that's a huge issue. Now, I'll also say, as far as addictions go, I've heard, not that I haven't ever, like, I don't want to be like holier than thou. This was a problem in my life before I was saved, okay? But I have heard, as far as the way the brain works, that overcoming a pornography addiction is one of the hardest addictions to overcome. Somebody smarter than me told me that. Right, and I believe them. But anyway, that's like a problem type of hindrance. Another one, this would be a problem if you're dishonest with your spouse. If you just blatantly lie to them about things, for you might be like, oh, it just makes things go over better. No, that's not cool, right? So dishonesty, that's like a problem hindrance to your, you know, obviously, if you feel like your spouse is dishonest with you, the last place you're probably going to end up together is in the bedroom. It just doesn't work that way, okay? So that's a hindrance. Things like that, okay? I could give you a list a mile long. The things that we would look at and be like, okay, that's like red flag area. You know, I'll even call my spouse out on something like that. You know, some of these other things will be like, I'm not just going to like call you out on it because maybe, you know, conviction needs to do that. You know, we don't want to play the part of the Holy Spirit. I got no problem with anybody in this room calling you out on anything like this. You know better. And so I'm just saying, if you find yourself in that, man, what are we doing? There's nothing godly about any of that. Okay, so the next type of hindrance, now we'll kind of start getting a little more where the rubber meets the road, maybe with people in this room, or I would call these practical hindrances. Practical hindrances. They're not really problems. They're not problems at all, but yet they still seem to be like a hurdle when it comes to us finding time together to be intimate, right? And so let me just give you a few of these. And you might be like, oh, yeah, I can track with that. Have you ever had a time in your life where it was like, we're just too busy to find time to be in the bedroom? Like, we got this going on, that going on. It's just too crazy. And by the time you get home, it's just like, that's the last thing that's on my mind, okay? That's a practical hindrance. That's practical life. But it's still a hindrance. I'm sorry, let me back up. Each one of these types of hindrances, I've got like a how to overcome, right? And so how to overcome the first type of hindrance, the only way to get past that is repentance, is laying it down at the feet of Jesus and turning around and going the other direction. I mean, it's not like, well, I don't need to do that anymore, or just kind of veering away. Repentance means turning around and going 180 degrees the other direction. With those problem type things, the only way to overcome those is repentance. It's Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the only thing. Okay, so back to what we were talking about. Practical hindrances. Busyness. Anybody ever found themselves in a point where it's just like, I'm just too tired, right? I've been there. Like, I am just completely exhausted. Sometimes we do things at work that are just really physical. Sometimes Tyler works my butt to the bone, and I'm just like, I get home, and especially the time we get to bed, it's just like, I can't even keep my eyes open, right? That's a practical hindrance, okay? That happens in life. Still a hindrance. Okay, another example. Have the kids ever been like a hindrance to, you know, maybe some sort of intimacy in your life ever? If you are like, no, you're a liar. From the time that they were babies to the time that, until they leave your house, right? There are times, and I'll just be completely honest, Brenton's here. Brenton's my middle son. I'm glad that he's here because he's, you know, he's interested in learning these things. And not just about sexual things, but just the whole marriage thing before, you know, he gets to that point. But the point is, there are times when Paige and I are like, we're going out of town for the weekend. And I'll tell my kids, they've got phones, right? I trust you guys to do the right thing. Don't do stupid things, right? That's always my phrase to them. You know, some people, Paige is always like, make wise choices. I'm like, don't do stupid things. We're saying the same thing. We're just saying them differently, right? I'll tell my kids, we've got our phones. You've got your phones. Don't text us unless, like, the house is burning down. Unless it is majorly important, I don't really need to hear about it. Neither does mom, right? I've even come to the point sometimes where I'm like, don't text mom about anything. If it's important, text me. Because here's the thing. Remember back a couple points? Their mind is very, like, you know, it's just like the world shuts. You know, I'm like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, right? It was a flat tire. They're big boys. They can figure whatever it is, right? And so the point here is, understand that, like, kids, they can still be what we would call a practical hindrance at times. Not that it's a bad thing, but there has been a time. The reason I do this is because we did go out of town one time, and we got a phone call because, you know, we're like, oh, the kids won't ever do this. And I'll say this wasn't Brenton. But, you know, we get a call, and it's like two of them arguing over the TV. And I'm like, I want to wring your neck through the telephone right now, right? We're just like away, we're just hanging out with each other. And we weren't even like, anyway. But it was still just like, what in the world are we doing right now? Like, this is what you're calling me about? Like, so anyway, there's a reason that we do these things. The kids can be a practical hindrance to your intimate life at times. It's okay. Work can be like this. Sometimes we got so much stuff on our brain when it comes to work. Some people can't turn that off. Some people are like, oh yeah, I punched out, I'm done. Like, I wish I could do that. Like, it just doesn't work like that for me. You know, when we're in the middle of a project, there's times that's like, that's just in my brain all the time. I got to get this, 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 and this. You know, just random things. We were on our way home last weekend from this, like really important stuff. We got the kitchen all cleaned up. We're headed home. No, you would think work's completely out of my mind. Out of the blue, I'm like, oh, no. And Paige is like, what? And I'm like, Tyler told me that the flooring guy was over there laying floor today. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, over that house, one of those houses we're working on. And I'm like, all my can light layout is on the concrete, and I know he laid right over it. We got no idea where these are at. Like, that's how my brain works. That's what I'm saying. So sometimes work can be a hindrance, okay, et cetera, those kinds of things, okay? Are any of those problems, would you look at any of those things and be like, that's a problem? Now, if they get excessive, like work's all you ever think about, like any of these things can be, but for the most part, like these are practical things. This is practical life. This stuff happens in life over and over and over again. Guys, you ever feel like, well, why does it have to be one thing after another after another? Like at some point, can we not just get a, I'm just saying, these are practical things, okay? So how do you overcome it? How do you get past it? Like if these are things that are like roadblocks to your intimate life, what do we do? I would give you two words, prioritize and plan. Some of these things you can prioritize. Obviously, intimate time is not more important than your kids. I'm not saying prioritize intimacy over your, but I mean like, yeah, my intimate life with my wife and us being close together and have, that's more important than work. Like, it's more important than ministry even at times. Like, you understand what I'm saying? So prioritize, and the things that you can't just prioritize over, plan. Plan time away. Plan a weekend where it's like, hey, we're going to get out of town. We're going to go somewhere, whether it's an hour down the road or 6 hours down the road, and it's just the two of us. I don't think there's a lot of confusion about what we're getting away for, right? There's going to be a lot of us time. There's going to be a lot of intimacy. There's going to be a lot of other things that happen as well, right? The book that I referenced last week, Sheet Music. It's called Sheet Music. I still recommend that book. There's only one part of that book that I personally was like, I don't agree with that. For the most part, I was right on track with it. There was a couple things that I'm like, okay, that's too far. But for the most part, I was right on track with what the guy was saying. Obviously, unless you wrote a book, you're not going to agree with everything something somebody says, okay? But for the most part, what it was saying was right as far as finding time for intimacy in your life and growing together and all those things, okay? But one of the big things that he talked about in that book was you got to make time, and you have to plan time sometimes. You just got to set time aside, you know? And so those are practical hindrances, okay? How do you overcome those? Prioritize and plan. That's how. And then the last one, when you talk about hindrances, I call these personal hindrances. These are things that maybe we do in our personal life that are a hindrance to our intimate life, okay? They're not always things that we do in our personal life, but they are they're one-sided. And so the first one I'll look at here is, we'll call it lack of desire. And you might be like, well, I can't make myself want to do something I don't want to do. Okay, for the most part, I understand what you're saying. Right, for the most part, I understand what you're saying. But I will also say this, like there's times in our life we're busy, right? And I'll just use this analogy, right? And so for the most part, I think you guys know what the Bible says about things like this. But anyway, there'll be times when it's like, what do you want for dinner? I don't know, I'm not even really that hungry. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not really that hungry either. It's fine, right? But at some point, like I can't go a week without eating. It doesn't work like that. You know, just because you're not hungry doesn't mean that eventually I'm not going to be hungry. Now, again, guys, and I'm saying guys because usually this is the way that it is. It's not always like this. Guys, you need to understand that there are times in her life where intimacy just isn't the thing. And there may be seasons. And when I say seasons, I mean, we're talking like weeks. And you're like, what? It's okay. But I will also say on the other side, ladies, like, remember, we're created differently. And we all have needs in different ways. So we need to figure out how to meet each other where we're at, okay? I think you kind of tracking what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you need to always, we'll get to that here in a minute. What I'm saying is we need to figure out how to grow to meet each other's needs, I think is the best way that I can put that. We need to be able to meet each other's needs. Now, guys, that doesn't mean, he said you need to meet my, no, I said you need to each other's needs. Sometimes her need is definitely not that. Okay, so understand that. It's a lack of desire. Another personal hindrance would be We'll get to this more in depth, but we'll just call it like personal performance. Sometimes guys get to a season of life, and we'll talk about this more in a little bit, where things don't work like they used to. I don't know any other way to say that. Okay? That's okay. We are created differently. Nothing is broken. And so sometimes if we get to that point, we just shut off. And sometimes ladies are like this too. They go through, we're going to get into this, the very last point, we'll get into more of this, but we go through seasons of life, body changes, all these different things where it's like, we just shut down and we're like, well, okay, well, understand that that's still a personal hindrance. Somehow something that's going on with you is hindering. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. And sometimes it needs to be a time where it doesn't happen. And I don't want to get too much into it because at the very end, I'm going to hit on some of those things in depth, okay? But it's still what sometimes we just shut down. Okay, but let me get to a couple more practical things that I've seen happen. We would call this a personal hindrance. People who use, I didn't even do nothing this time. Maybe I'm not supposed to say this. People who use sex as leverage. Well, if you give me what I want, then I'll give you what you want. Or I'm not even going to get into details here. That's wrong. Generally, I'm talking to ladies here. Guys, if I'm talking to you, whoever I'm talking to, this is not a tool. This is not a bargaining chip. This is holy. It is God designed. And if that's ever even a thought in your mind, man, you better like cast it down and move on. It is not a bargaining chip. I'll give it to you want, and I can go shopping, or I can go do this, or I can do. No. Messed up, okay? Let me just say that. And then here's one that where we really kind of, and I've kind of seen this, I'm not even really in our personal life, but I could see this. I've not really. I could see this being problems. We would just call these maybe distraction. Sometimes we just get distracted, okay? And so that can be a hindrance to our intimate life. What am I talking about? Maybe we got a TV in the bedroom, and it's just habit. We just turn the TV on every night. This is what we do. Well, I mean, sometimes that's not always a good thing. I don't want to compete with the TV. Now, I say that we have a TV in our room. I'm not really sure why. I can't even tell you the last time that it was on. Like, I think I watched a football game in there years ago. I mean, I don't even know why it's in there. One of the kids that she babysits watched something there every now and then. Anyway, the point is, I can see where if that's like something that you just do in your life and it's just habit, well, at some point, your spouse might not want to compete with that. And so then they just turn off. Okay, I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm just saying. The internet, you know, things like that. Things that just consume us. Maybe social media. You know, too often we get in bed and there's been times in our life where I've caught us doing this. We're so busy through the day. We go, go, go. I don't even have time to look and see email, right? And so I get emails from the church. I get things all the time. It's just all the time. I don't have time to do it. So we finally get to bed. We're exhausted. We hit the bed, turn the lights off, and what do I notice? We're both laying in bed, flipping through our phone. I'm, you know, doing this, she's doing that, whatever it is. And I'm like, not even that's what we're here for, but like, this is not a breeding ground for intimacy right now. And so I don't know who I'm talking to or what I'm saying. I'm just saying this could be one of those personal hindrances. At some point, again, your spouse, whether it be man or woman, they might just be like, I'm not going to compete with that. So until you're ready to put that aside and make me the priority, and again, I'm talking about men and women, right? You might be like, well, it's work, right? Or it's ministry. I don't care what it is. You need to have an off button so you can have an on button if you're tracking with what I'm saying. You need to set boundaries, I guess, is the best way to maybe handle things like this. Whatever it is in your life, this would be where communication would come in. The key to overcome these kinds of hindrances is communication. If you've got something that's happening in your marriage that it's like, that's really bothering me, if you don't tell them, they might not know. Okay, so let them know and come up with some boundaries. Like, hey, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, or you know, if we're in bed, no phones, or if we're in bed, no TV, or if we're whatever it is, right? Now, it doesn't mean that if I'm not in bed, you can't do whatever. Or if you're not, whatever, however it works in your marriage, but you've got to communicate and you got to be honest with each other. Because if you just assume that your spouse is going to figure it out, now I'm mostly talking to the ladies here, but guys as well. If you just assume that your spouse is going to figure it out, they probably won't. You got to tell them. Well, ladies do this all the time. They're like, well, if I just, you know, make it a point enough, he'll figure it out. I'm like, absolutely not. You got to be very black and white with me. Explain it to me. Black, what did I do? What did I say? Like, well, you should know. Well, yeah, I probably should know. But until you tell me, I'm really going to struggle here. Like, we had to come to that realization. So communicate, okay? Back to night one. Just knowing what the hindrances are in your relationship, they're not going to grow your love life, in case you're wondering. Just being able to be like, yeah, that's not a good one for us. That's not going to solve anything. You both must take steps together to overcome each one of these, okay? You need to work together to not let this happen. Now, let me just one more warning, and we'll kind of move on. Beware the what I call the reverse progression of these. These typically work backwards, and if left unchecked, you might end up with big problems because you didn't address the personal problems. Generally, lack of intimacy starts with something just simple, right? It starts with, you know, whatever. You know, we got this thing going on. And it's like, well, I'm not going to chase it. And then the next thing you know, you're just like, oh, I'm just tired. I'm just, well, whatever. And you know, the next thing you know, you find yourself in an emotional affair. You find yourself, and I'm not talking about us per se in the church, but hopefully we know better. But you find yourself, you know, with pornography or whatever else. Be careful of the reverse progression. If you don't take care of something when it's small, man, things get big very quickly. I'm sure everybody in here has. You've been through a season of life where you are very intimate a lot, right? And you've also been in a season of life where it seems like, man, there's just like no intimacy at all. I really don't know why. It's just like we are just not together. That's because you probably didn't take care of the little things early enough. And now it's going to take like a pretty big intervention. We're going to have to sit down and really hash this out. And it's going to probably hurt a little bit. And so that's why we take care of the personal things while they're personal before they start being something bigger. Okay? Hopefully that kind of makes sense. I want to take one more thing here. And there's really no better time to talk about this than right now. Because I kind of just referenced it a little bit. So there was something said at the marriage conference this last year. And so I'm not here to attack anybody, but there was something said that I feel like needs to be addressed, and I wasn't even there. So what they did was they separated the guys and the girls, and I understand why they do that. I would never do that, but they did that. And they're like, hey, let's talk to the guys one-on-one. I guess they feel like they could say things to guys more practically, and I don't know, I'll just say whatever to anybody, and hopefully it doesn't offend you. But, you know, the Bible says what it says, so if you're talking Bible, you shouldn't have to, like, sugarcoat it. Anyway, so they separated them, and one of the things, and I don't know exactly how it was said, but it really rubbed me wrong when Paige told me about it, was the lady had basically told the gals in the room was, you know, if you're not sexually fulfilling your husband, then don't be surprised when he goes somewhere else. And I'm like, ooh, that like puts a ton of weight on a woman's shoulders. Now, I can see where that comes from. But especially in a church biblical context, there is absolutely no room for that, okay? Guys, if your wife never was intimate with you again, that is not grounds for you to ever go even looking somewhere else. Now, if she chooses to do that, that's between her and God, because the Bible is very clear about, you know, making sure that you are pleasing your spouse. But we're not here to make decisions for the other person. And so I just want to make sure that, like, if there's anybody that heard that, and like there's maybe been some weight on your shoulders, it's like, well, there's just something going on in my life, and that's just not it right now. And that's okay. You don't need to just be available. Now, I understand that there's times that this is flip-flopped, right? There are times we speak in generalizations like guys always want it and ladies usually don't. There's times it's flip-flopped when the ladies always want it and the guy's just like, I'm just not interested right now. And like, okay, that happens. I know some of you are like, what? That happens. The point is, intimacy is never just an on-demand kind of thing. It should never be. It is when two people come together in a very godly thing, okay? Now, there should also never be a time in your life where you're like, I'm not going to do that anymore. Now, if there's something you're working through, okay. But if you're just come to a point in your life where you're just like, yeah, I'm just not into that anymore. I'm too old for that or whatever else. And it's like, that would be like, and I heard somebody else make this analogy, but I will use it as well. That would be like, you know, and generally, the wife would be one that says that. I'm too old, I'm not going to do that anymore. That would be like your husband being like, well, I mean, I've supported you this many years, and I'm just not going to do that anymore. Again, apples and oranges, but kind of the same thing at the same time. We need to make sure that we are what God calls us to be to our spouse, no matter what. I hope that's tracking with you. And I just want to make sure I address that, because there's never a time when, ladies, you just need to be available. That's messed up. You should be meeting the needs of one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4 makes it very clear that, like, you should be tripping over yourself trying to please them. And so, like, and it says in verse 5, you should be, like, so intimate so often that you guys need to be like, okay, we got to call a time out and set aside some time where we can, like, fast and pray and be more ministry-minded. Like, you ever been at a point in your life where you're like, so into each other all the time where you're like, we got to call a timeout? And you're like, no. Yeah, the Bible says you should be. Just saying. That's what it says. That you stop for a time and you give yourselves a fasting and prayer. And then what does it say? You set a time where you're going to come together again, so you tempt not one another for your incontinency. Meaning, if you don't make yourself available, there's going to be a time. Like, I understand what the gal was probably trying to say. Like, guys are so needful of physical intimacy. But I also understand that you need to find your needs in Christ more than anything. And so, I get it, but I don't get it, is what I'm saying. So hopefully that doesn't confuse anybody. We got to keep moving. Number seven. How to keep it spicy in the bedroom and beyond. How to keep it spicy. I'll be quick. This would be another way to say that. Keeping things fresh over the years. Keeping things fresh. Let me just tell you. I've never heard a testimony of two newlyweds coming home early from their honeymoon because, you know, they got bored. Right? You ever heard anybody like, yeah, we came home a week early. We were just bored. We didn't have nothing to do. I mean, I've never heard that. So then why do couple after couple end up in the counseling room for this very reason? We're just bored. We're just not into each other anymore. What happens? What changes? They don't know how to rejoice with each other. Proverbs 5:18, you probably know where I'm going here, but make sure you see this. Proverbs 5:18 says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. We don't understand how to do that anymore. It goes on in verse 19 to say, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Are you ravished? We should never come to a point in life where we're like, I'm just not ravished with you anymore. Why? What changed? God didn't change. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His picture didn't change. You're still called to complete the same picture. So as long as you're doing your part, it's all you can do. Every couple who's been married for very long at all will tell you that you need to, for lack of a better word, keep it fresh, right? You need to keep things fun. So what does that mean, though? When I say we got to keep it spicy, what does that mean? Let me use an analogy. And you can follow the analogy and go as far as you want to go with it. But let me just ask you something. What's your favorite meal? Like, what's your favorite, Brady, what's your favorite meal? I know you're into food. You're a food connoisseur. What's your favorite meal? Pizza. That's a good answer. That's actually not a great answer for my analogy. But anyway, it's pizza. What? Yeah. Anyway, so some people will be like, man, I just really like fried chicken or whatever, right? Whatever it is. And you'd be like, I could eat it every day. Okay, well, you could. For a while, but then eventually you're going to be like, man, this is really good, but, you know, every now and then, like, I could use some pizza, right? Or, you know, how about some mashed potatoes or, you know, whatever, something different. It's really good, but, you know, something. We had a birthday party last weekend, and she had, like, two crock pots of chili, plus she had some other stuff, and, like, everybody ate the chicken and noodles, and we had, like, two crock pots full of chili, and that's, like, all we've eaten for an entire week. I'm like, oh my gosh, I really love chili. But at some point, it's like, I'm just done with this. Not even for the reasons you're, even just done with the same thing over and over again, okay? You go to a restaurant, and like you got your go-to. When I was dating Paige, we'd go to Applebee's, and she would get Fiesta Lime Chicken every time we'd go there. Coincidentally enough, she still nearly gets that every time we go there. She's like, it's just good, I really like it. I'm like, try something new. And she really does try a lot of things. I do this more than she does, but we have to learn to try something else off the menu. You understand what I'm saying? Now, understand, we need to try something else, not someone else. Too often, that happens. We're like, oh, it's not spicy anymore. I want to go try somebody else. That's not what I'm saying. Try something else off the menu. The menu is still your spouse. So understand that. What does it mean to try something else then? I'm trying to help you out with your imagination of what we're seeing here. So if somebody was to ask me my favorite meal... What? I know. If somebody was asking me my favorite meal, here's what I would tell them. My favorite meal is Mexican food. You'd be like, well, that's cheating. Well, it's not really. Because if you've ever been to a Mexican restaurant, they've got like the same six ingredients in the back. Now, they've got a menu of like 75 different things. And they're all made out of like the same six or eight ingredients, right? They got chicken, They got some steak. They got some peppers and onions and, you know, some whatever. You understand what I'm saying? It's just how they package it that makes it all different, right? My favorite feel is Mexican food. I like tacos a lot. I could eat tacos a lot of days in a row. Like, I like tacos. But every meal, what? Nah, I mean, I'd probably eat them. But every meal, it might get bland. But you know what? Instead of tacos, I can have a quesadilla. It's the same thing. It's just packaged a little different. Or you know what? I could have a burrito or a tostada or whatever else. Just like going to the Mexican restaurant. They just package it a little different. Tyler would call it, they just changed the delivery device. It's just basically, how are they delivering it to my mouth? Is it in a burrito shell? Is it in a taco shell? Is it whatever? You see where I'm going with this, though? You see, you tracking with what I'm saying? It's, you know, obviously, we know what we're talking about tonight. I'm not saying that I'm tired of the same food after 18 and a half years. I'm saying we've learned to understand the benefit of salsa and queso and guacamole. Hopefully, you're tracking with me. I'm not talking about bringing different things into our sex life, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. But instead, just ways to spice up the food that we've already got. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hopefully, you're tracking with me. Some days, let me boil it all down for you. Some days, it's bean burritos from Taco Bell. Why? Because we're in a hurry and we need something to satisfy us. Doesn't mean that it's bad. I like bean burritos. You can get the onions out of it, but whatever. I like, right? Some days it's bean burritos from Taco Bell. Some days it's fajita off the grill at home. Got the peppers, we got the onions, it's spicy. You got all the fixings. Do you track with what I'm saying here? You got to learn how to make it spicy. Both will satisfy both of us. I'm not just saying it's going to satisfy me. Both will satisfy both of us, but there's a time and a place for both. I hope you're tracking with what I'm saying. There's a need for both. There's a need for both. So practical ways to communicate this, because I'm running out of time. You got to make it spicy, but how do you communicate this? How do you tell your spouse that, hey, we should try something new? Like, that's not what I mean. Communicate. Again, that's weird that that's like the one go-to on all of these. Just talk to each other. Understand that we're going to talk about things. Learn what your spouse is into. Over time, you will learn. Another way, don't ever stop dating your spouse. You want to keep it spicy? Don't ever stop dating your spouse. Don't ever stop chasing after her. Too many guys or even gals, like, you know, we got married and I'm like, I caught my fish. Like, don't ever stop going after. Don't ever stop chasing. Don't ever stop desire. Like, all the things that, like, you couldn't get enough of them when you were dating, don't ever stop doing that. You might be like, well, I've been married a long time. I mean, I have too. Not as long as some of y'all have, but I'm just saying, there's a reason why some people can stay married so long. They've learned the benefit of salsa. Okay, so. I mean, yeah, I'll dance too, whatever. Don't ever stop chasing your spouse. Proverbs 5:19 says, be ravished. Don't ever stop being ravished with your spouse. Right? Don't ever. I look at my wife sometimes, and she's like, I just woke up. I'm just like ravished. I'm like, I cannot believe God gave me you. She's like, well, like, I'm not even saying like in an intimate way. I'm just being like, there's got to be times when you look at your spouse and you're just like, I just can't believe that like I am that lucky. And you should always think that about your spouse, right? Because God draws us to. Don't ever stop being ravished. Guys, remember to involve all of her senses. We talked about that earlier. You want to make it spicy? It's different all the time for a lady. Just because something worked yesterday don't mean it's going to work even later in the day or tomorrow or the next day. And it's always changing. Learn how to learn your spouse on the fly. Enjoy each other. You guys can figure that out on your own. Enjoy each other. Guys, remember, you know, I said that. Ladies, remember he's visual and you want to keep it spicy? I'm just saying, there's a lot of ways that you can, without a whole lot of work, usually make it very spicy for him. God created him that way. Like, it's not like, oh, that's a problem. It's a problem if he's looking somewhere else. It's never a problem if he's looking at you. Tell them what you like. Now, don't get weird with this, but there was a time that Paige made a new, we were young. I've learned since to maybe not say things like this, at least this harsh, but there was a time we were pretty young, and she made this meal, and it was like rice and some other stuff, and I get home and I'm eating it, and I'm eating it because I've learned over time that if my wife has made something for me, I'm going to eat it, right? And she's thinking to herself, he must really like it. He's eating a lot of this. And I'm like not saying anything, but I'm like, I'm just going to eat it because she made it. And then at some point, she's like, do you like this? And I'm like trying not to be offensive because it's terrible. Not that the food was terrible. I don't love rice unless it's like in a taco. It's just me. I'm not that kind of guy. And so anyway, and I was like, you know what, babe? You know the next time you should make this? And she's like, maybe she's going to want me to make it again next week. And the best way, and I was young. Give me some grace. Don't hate me too much. What did I say? I said, the next time you should make this is like maybe next time I'm like on a mission trip or something. I'm like, and I didn't mean it in a bad way. I'm like, I'll eat whatever you make. Because, and the reason I said that was because it was a lot like I'd been to India a couple times. And it was like, I eat this kind of stuff when I'm there. And I didn't really love it. Like, I ate it because it's what you do. But I'm like, you shouldn't make this. It's not good. And anyway, I've grown a lot, y'all. The point here is, like, it was a lot of years ago. The point of me even bringing that up is, if you don't tell them what you like and what you don't like, it's really hard for somebody just to know, especially when it comes to intimate things, because we're just created self-conscious. We're created in a way where we're like, I don't know. And so if you don't tell them the things that you are into and you're not into, and the things that you do like when they touch you and you don't, and the way that, you know, all of those things, it's going to be really awkward. But if you can just communicate, it goes a long way. Here's another practical way you can keep things spicy. Enjoy your liberty in Christ. Galatians 5:13, 1 Peter 2:16, you can go to those verses later, but enjoy your liberty. Don't use it as a cloak of maliciousness. Don't use your liberty as a way to be like, yeah, we should do this. That's really, okay. If it's not biblical, keep it out. I mean, come on, guys. I'm not here to like promote anything that's weird. Sometimes you start talking about like intimacy and then people's minds immediately go to like things that they shouldn't. Intimacy is very godly as long as you keep it that way, okay? But don't use your liberty to be like, yeah, we should, whatever. I don't even know what I'm thinking or what you're thinking. I'm just saying, keep it where it needs to be. Another way to practical way to keep it spicy, read together. Find something, read Song of Solomon together. Read it to each other. Something that Paige and I try to make sure we have at least one date night a month. We do something together. You're like, well, I've run out of things to do. I'm not saying that this was a good thing or a bad thing, but we find ways to date each other. I bought this book. It was called Adventure Challenge. It was like different dates that you could go on. And some of them were really fun. Some of them were really weird, and we didn't do all of them, but find ways just to be interested in your spouse. The premise of the book was really cool. They were all scratch-offs. So like you would just pick one, and it would have like a phrase, and you would scratch it off, and nobody knew what it was, and be like, okay, this is what we're doing. And like, It was some of it was fun. Like you one of them was not to be graphic or anything, but like one of them was like the blind baker, where like one person was blindfolded and the other person had to like use their hands to make all the ingredients and put it in the oven. And like some of that stuff is, oh yeah, you couldn't use it's whatever. Like just different things. Find ways to still date your spouse. You understand what I'm saying? Like things like that. Now some of them were like, okay, we're not doing that. It's just weird, right? But whatever. Anyway. Obviously, not everything is, I'm not saying it was not biblical, but the point is, like, find ways to keep it spicy, okay? I hope you understand what I'm saying. I don't know. I'm staying out of that. Okay, last one, and I don't want to rush through this, but here's the last how-to. I understand these are just words. How to keep the sheets hot in all seasons of life. And I just want to talk about a few things that I know we're all come against at some point. And so I'll be completely honest with you. Basically, what I'm trying to say here is how to keep intimacy going past 25. Because if any of you know, like 25 to 30, things are different. 30 to 35, things are different. You might be like, man, that was a long time ago. I'm still telling you, things are different from 25 to 35. They just are. And so that's only going to continue to change in life. The point here is how to keep intimacy going past whatever age. I'll be completely honest and tell you, I'm not the authority on any of this. I've read some things, I've talked to some people, and here's what I've learned. Everybody's experience is different. There is no black and white, this is how this goes, okay? So I'm going to talk about some generalizations, maybe some general thoughts that we have about intimacy or sex in the winter season of life. And I'll basically try to address some of those things. And again, I thought about having maybe Mark come up and share some of this, but then some of the things that I've even heard Mark talk about, I've heard completely different from other people. And so it's like there is no black and white here, is what I'm saying. Not everybody's different. Everybody goes through things different at different seasons, different ages, okay? Like, I've noticed changes in my body as a man, and I'm 37, is that correct? Like, I don't even know how old. I feel like I'm older than that. But the point is, like, things change even in that amount of time, okay? And so what I'm just going to address some generalizations and make sure that we at least are on the same page biblically, okay? And then we'll be done. I know I'm going to run a little bit late, but, you know, I'll ask for forgiveness and not permission. So here's the first maybe generalization that we hear is that intimacy just stops happening when we get to you fill in the blank. We don't do that, or that doesn't happen, or, you know, grandparents, they don't do that, or whatever. And you know, you're probably right, they don't do that as often, right? Things change, things happen. But I've never read anywhere in the Bible yet, and I've read it a few times, where it says that you, when you hit X amount of age, intimacy no longer happens in your life. Intimacy might mean different things, but it never means anything just completely stops. Okay, you have to continue to learn how to change and morph and be what your spouse needs you to be. I hope that makes sense, right? But it never says, I have now become gray-headed and I don't do that anymore or whatever, right? That doesn't happen. So that's the first generalization. I had some more things to say, but for the most part, I think you get the gist of what I'm saying. We don't just, it doesn't just turn off. It just turns different. Okay, so the next one, generalization when it comes to intimacy in the winter. Menopause is the end of the book. When menopause happens, that means, okay, that's over. Okay, so again, I've read some things. I haven't heard from as many ladies as I have guys on certain things, but I have read some books and different things. And so it's called menopause, not menostop, right? I don't really know a lot of other ways to say what I'm saying. Okay, so we understand it's a change. It's a very physical change in a woman's body, okay? Hormones change, hormones stop. They don't even know who they are, let alone trying to be what you need them to be. And so what you need to understand in this phase of life, because understand it's a phase, it's a season. Menopause doesn't go on until the day you die. It's just different, okay? So something that you're going to need to understand is you have to learn how to work together to learn her again. The way that she was before is no longer. Not because she wanted it to be that way. It's the way that she is. The hormones are no longer there. The things that used to cause her to want things, desire things, all of those are all different. Gone. Changed. Her favorite color used to be blue and now it's red. What? Like, and I'm just using very generalization. But the point is, like, don't just expect, guys, I'm talking to you for a minute, that your wife is just going to be like, well, you know, I've got needs. Like, you need to understand, she doesn't even know who she is, let alone trying to be what you want her to be. And like, come on, man. Understand that is a season. You've been through a lot of things in life at this point. Go through this together as well, right? Hopefully you understand that. Patience, patience, patience. It's a season. Make it fun to understand who she is again. Try to help her remember who she was and now who she is, right? Don't try to force her into something that she's not anymore. You understand, like, it is a completely chemical change. Like, it is like trying to, I don't know, the only example maybe I can use because my mind is very manly and, you know, linear is, like, we use epoxy sometimes at work. And when you put two parts of this epoxy together, it's a chemical reaction. There's no getting them apart. Like, this stuff's going to get hard, and, like, if your fingers are in it, it's going to get hard, whatever it is, right? You understand. Like, you can't undo a chemical reaction. Okay, well, that's what's happening inside your wife's body. You can't undo the chemical reaction that's happening. So try to understand it with her. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Again, it's menopause, it's a season, okay? She needs to know, guys, more than anything, that through this, that you still think that she's as perfect as she was the day that you married her. That she's no longer less of a woman. She's no longer less of what you desire. Because she's already fighting those things. Now I'm not what my husband wants anymore. Now I'm not even like a lady anymore to him. And okay, you need to make sure that you're assuring her more than ever that she is still what you want. Okay? I hope you're tracking with me. Like I don't know a lot about this, but man, I feel like the things that I am telling you, you really need to write down, guys. Hormones are a real thing. Understand that. It is a season. Ladies, the only thing I will say to you, because I don't completely understand, is try to understand your husband through this as well. Because now all of a sudden he's living with somebody that, like, he's trying his best, or hopefully he's trying his best to work together. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to be like, you need to do this, because I don't know. But I am saying, like, biblically, we also understand that we are called to be, whatever our spouse needs us to be. So at least try to help him understand and work through things with him, okay? Okay, number three. There's only four of these, and we'll be done. Generalization. You probably thought this one was going to be the first one. Men aren't able anymore, right? You get to this season of life, and you know, guys just can't anymore. The culture we live in, if you listen to... I listen to sports radio a lot just because I like sports, and so it's something different. I can only listen to Christian radio so long before it makes me want to vomit, and it's not because I don't love Jesus. It's because I don't love the same eight songs over and over again that really aren't even about Jesus. But anyway, sorry, I'm not... There are things on K-Love that are great. There are things on all that. But anyway, I listen to sports radio a lot. Okay, well, who generally listens to sports radio? Middle-aged men, right? They target people. And so what is like every other commercial about? It's either about now you can gamble on sports in Kansas, right? Because that's the new thing. Or dealing with your erectile dysfunction, right? That's like every other commercial. So it's a thing, guys. So let me just give you some ways to kind of attack this. Just so both of you know, now it's time for a role reversal. Ladies, for all the times that it was just like he chased you, it's time for you to chase him a little bit. Because he feels inadequate, and he's just shut down. He doesn't know what to do, and so it's time for you to make him feel like he's the greatest thing ever. Because it's still mental. And if you, I'm not saying like things aren't going to work like they used to all the time. That's okay. There's actually benefits to things not working like they used to all the time. I've read. Like I'm not there yet, praise the Lord. But I'm not saying that if when you are there, it's a bad thing. I'm just saying like I'm not there yet is all I'm saying. I'm scared to death because like I'm starting to get gray hairs and like, I'm like, gosh, dang. I'm starting to see signs and I'm like, I don't want, because that's what we're created with this mindset that we're manly and we're, okay, so it's time for a role reversal. Ladies, it's time for you to help him want to. Instead of for him always wanting to help you want to. Now, what is that in general going to mean? It's probably not going to be as often. That's okay. Ladies, you might actually have to try in this season of life a little bit. It's no longer just like, you might have to put some effort into getting his attention all the time. Here's one thing I want to say, because I do know this about men. It's not because he doesn't want you. It's because he feels defeated that he can't physically please you. And so he's just like, I won't chase after her. Because if I do chase after her and she does like, you know, agree to it, then what happens if I can't? And then it's like, that's a disaster. And so ladies, that's one of the reasons why your husband's not chasing you as much. It's not because he doesn't want to. It's because he's scared to death that you're going to look at him different. Guys, I'm sorry. I just told her your secret, right? It is what it is. Ladies, it's time for you to chase after him a little bit. Because I'll speak for the guys in the room, or at least most of us. When you chase after us, there is nothing better. And that might just be the key. Number four, and we'll be done. Things are different in this season of life, right? That's kind of a generalization. You get into the winter season, when we're talking about intimacy, like there's a million things we could talk about in the winter season of life, but we're talking about intimacy tonight, so things are different. This is very true. Things are different. Not in a bad way, always. It's probably not going to be as often. It's okay. So it's longer in between, right? Between times. But something else that I've read and heard from, not that guys talk about this stuff, but like this is just kind of a common thing, is it's also longer each time. Things last longer. Things aren't like as quick to the trigger as maybe they were at one point in life. There are benefits to the older season of life. Things aren't as sensitive as they used to be. I hope you're tracking with what I'm saying here. Things are different. That's okay. You get to, and this is for both of you, you get to learn each other all over again. Like, this is something that, if anything, I'm looking forward to at this season of life with Paige. Because at this point, like, we're together till death do us part. I can't wait to, like, learn her all over again. The things that she likes and doesn't like and all those things. Intimacy is such a big thing in your marriage. When it's good, it's great. When it's bad, it's like, what in the world is happening? Communication is the key. Always. Communication is the key. We've looked at a lot of different things when we talk about intimacy. We've looked at, like, it's a necessary part of a healthy marriage. It's not the only part of a healthy marriage. You might feel like, oh my gosh, we've talked about this for 2 weeks. It's because, man, sex and money. You want to talk about what gets you in the counseling room in the pastor's office? Sex and money. So guess what we're going to talk about next, probably? Well, we've looked at sex, about all the different ways you can look at it. So what about finances? Things like that, okay? This is marriage, guys. Healthy, intimate life makes so many things better. It doesn't mean that it makes everything great, but I'm just saying it makes things so much smoother. There's no longer the self-conscious. There's no longer, and again, go back, because if you feel like I was too much one way or too much the other way, because, you know, guys are probably like, he should have said more. Ladies are like, you probably shouldn't have said that. I'm just saying, maybe go back and listen to it. You're like, I already listened to you once. Go back and listen to it again and really hear what I was saying, because I wasn't trying to, like, toe the line. I was trying to be completely black and white with you without just shoving a ton of scripture in your face. The Bible is very provocative when it comes to your spouse. So make sure it stays there. And if it does stay there, and what's the Bible say? Enjoy the wife of your youth. Enjoy, it doesn't say husband, but it means enjoy the husband of your youth. And as Tony Godfrey would say, go be married. They's being married. Hopefully that's what you all enjoy doing. Enjoy being married. I don't know any other way to say it. I think I've said enough. If you didn't read Song of Solomon, go back and read it. If you did read it again. The Bible is so black and white on what it means as a picture of intimacy. Intimacy doesn't always mean sex. I'm almost done, Mitch. He just walked by, so it doesn't always mean sex, but intimacy a lot of times leads there. So intimacy, it's huge. So huge. Read Song of Solomon, get God's mind on it. It's God's book. And then go back and take a portion. I don't mean read the, you know, use the exact words, but take just a short time, however long you want it to be, more than just like a quick little note, and just explain to your spouse what they are to you. Right? Use some comparisons, the ones that we like to be like, yeah, that's so weird. Like, your hair is like the fire of the forest because it's red, or whatever. I don't know. Luke said something when we left here the other night. It was so good. They were working in the office because Luke's always working all the time, more than me. And the guy is never not working, like Troy Polamalu. But some of you get that. Anyway, Brenda is helping him because that's what she's created to be, his helpmate. And Luke's very organized. Like, everything Luke does, very organized, very. And Brenda, she's putting stuff in the computer too. And he goes and he gets all the papers from her. We were entering guest names from the harvest party. And he's like, what is this? And there's like, they're all disheveled. And he's like, your organization is like the wind of the sky and something like that. And I'm like, see, he was listening. Take some time. And you might be like, this is really stupid, Jason. It's really stupid until you actually sit down with your spouse and read to them what you wrote. And see the look in their eye. And then tell me how stupid it was. Okay? They might laugh. But then they're going to think about what you said. Because they said it about you. Like, there's something to this, I promise. There's something really to this. Let's pray, guys. Intimacy is so key. But it's not the only thing. Everything builds upon another. But, man, this is a big thing. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us. Lord, I thank you for your design. If we were just to step back and think of all the different ways that you could have created physical intimacy, I don't think any of us could have come up with this. But yet we all stand back in awe of what you did, God, because you care about us. You care about the things that we care about. And Lord, I pray that as we look in our marriages, that we are pure, that we only have our eyes for our spouse. We only have a heart for our spouse. And Lord, that we would learn how to continually desire, to continually chase after, to continually want and need our spouse, even into the winter months, winter seasons of life. And God, we're all going to get to a point in life where things in our body aren't like they used to be. And that's okay, because you know what? Intimacy isn't everything. When we get to different seasons of life, that's okay. Lord, we learn to love our spouse in different ways. So I pray that we would evaluate ourselves individually and search your face on how we can love them better through whatever it is that they're growing through in life, that we would learn how to be intimate with them, even in seasons that it seems like that can't even happen, because intimacy isn't always sexual intimacy. But God, when we are intimate, when we give ourselves completely over to another person in our spouse, and that's a picture of what you have desired for us to be with Christ in the church, to completely give ourselves over to you. You've called us to lay everything down, to hold nothing back, and to just lay it out there for you, and that you'll take us from there. Is that not exactly what you do for us in our physical intimacy? You call us to just lay it down and give it to our spouse. There's a picture that is so perfect and so pure that only you could think of it. But God, I pray that as we spend some time just reflecting on these couple weeks of teaching, that we would understand that it's not about a physical act. It's about a spiritual picture that can only be fulfilled in you first and in our marriage second. Lord, I pray you would just use these things, draw us closer to our spouse. Lord, I do pray for those who have a lot of things going on in life, and for whatever reason they've kind of fallen away or fallen off, and I pray that they get this on time. There's a lot of people who need to hear this, not because I'm a good speaker, but because your word is that true. So I pray that we would get it where it needs to go on time, that your word would be honored and glorified. I pray you just bless your word, bless church tomorrow as we get into the Lord's Supper. And God, heaven forbid there be anything in our marriages that is at odds, that we would definitely get those things taken care of before we come before your table for the Lord's Supper tomorrow. I pray this all in your son's name. Amen.